We'll begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What would it mean if Christ, our Savior, was not in reality risen from the dead? Let's hear what the Apostle Paul has to say in answer to that, reading his words recorded for us by the power of verbal inspiration in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It is quite a list of things turning out very badly. We'll consider some of them today, starting with the first one that Paul brings up. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Think about that. In other words, Seth, the Bible-based Christian religion that we all know, the gospel of salvation that we trust, is worthless if Christ is not risen. If that is truly the case, Jesus still dead in a grave somewhere, then we might as well turn off this microphone, leave the hymnals on the bleachers, walk out the door, and keep going, and join the unbelievers out there in a desperate quest to gain as much personal satisfaction as we can before death comes. Actually, death is not the worst of it. Not according to verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Do you know what that means? Can you track the logical connection there? We know what the Bible says here. The gospel declares that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. Well, if he's still dead, as some people claim, what does that say about the payment? It wasn't enough, apparently. It did not work. So, our sins are still on us. And we would have to pay the debt that we owe to God. Well, that then means that when our own death comes, it's to be followed by the punishment of hell for you and me and every other believer, including those who have died. Something that Paul brings up in this statement. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished if Christ is not risen. That's a very big if, which Paul removes from the equation in that pivotal last verse that I read, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. How is the resurrection of Jesus so very different from those people in Bible times who went through the miracle of a resurrection, like the son of the widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament, or Jairus' daughter, or Lazarus? The answer is in the word first fruits. Only Jesus gets to be the first fruits, which means the first one to rise from the grave and stay alive forever. All these others, including Lazarus, must have died again at some point. And their bodies are buried in a grave someplace. But not Jesus. The fact that He is alive, the fact of His resurrection, changes everything across the board. So, instead of saying, if Christ is not, we get to say, like Paul, because Christ is. Because Christ is risen. Our preaching of the gospel is not empty, but loaded with His life-saving truth. And our faith has something solid to hold on to. In fact, the resurrection of Christ has become a heavenly power that causes the faith of every believer to come alive and stay alive. Because Christ is risen, our sins do not stick to us. They stick to Jesus, who carried them all to the cross, where He covered them with His holy blood and washed them permanently away from God's sight. Yes, the resurrection of our Savior guarantees our forgiveness from God, and it empowers our faith in God and establishes our future with God. Would you like to have a powerful glimpse into your own future? I'm not talking about college or a career. I'm thinking of something very big. The new and improved version of you one day. You can expect that what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago will happen to you. Just as He rose from the grave never to die again, so will you, assuming, of course, that God has determined your life to end on earth before Judgment Day. And just as Jesus is with the Father in glory and perfection, so also will you. Risen from the grave, ascended into heaven. What a combination. That's your future pinnacle, your future fortune. And it's not a matter of if. We can choose better words like when and because. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. We close our worship today singing hymn 207, stanzas 2 and 4. Stanzas 2 and 4 of hymn 207.